Sonor.
On air. How are you today?
Great. I literally just got into Bern, and it's the first time I'm ever in Switzerland. Yes, so that's exciting.
How is Switzerland and Bern and Sonor treating you so far?
Like, I really just directly walked from the station with my suitcase, so I'm excited to find that out.
Okay.
If you have recommendations later.
We'll do. And so we know that you're here because of your work, marathon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how can you describe your work with a song?
I think I took a lot of inspiration at that time from maybe not a specific song, but from Aldous Harding, Drinks, and also Laurie Anderson. I just wanted to make something very silly, and maybe there's a song in my piece that's very repetitive and almost annoying, and I just wanted to play with that a bit more instead of something that's maybe conventionally like pretty singing. Or
which song was it? Was it like Pain and Memory, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so you submitted your work, which is an audio piece, but your style is mostly film, right?
Yes. It's my very first audio piece that I made. I'm a musician on the side, kind of, next to filmmaking.
Yeah. And you also knit as well.
I also knit. Those are my hobbies.
And what can we say about the fact that your audio piece is bilingual, as in English and Japanese?
Mm-hmm. I thought a lot about access and information, because I'm studying film, and obviously you encounter these moments where it's a very academic and intellectual space, where sometimes, I don't know, people who don't understand Spanish talk about, I didn't need subtitles in this scene, like I didn't need to understand it. And I think there's a lot of kind of ignorance and arrogance there, so I wanted to dig deep into thinking about two languages and how much information you need to provide to enjoy a piece the same amount, but maybe in different ways, because Japanese and English just function very differently, and maybe some things that are interesting to a Japanese comprehending audience isn't that interesting to an English audience. But then also maybe looking into a bit this comfort or curiosity to a language just based on phonetics, because for someone who's not understanding Japanese, they obviously just hear sounds. So yeah, that was a little bit my idea.
You chose English and Japanese because you grew up between Japan and the U.S., right?
Yes. I grew up in the U.S. between ages 4 to 10. And then I moved back to Japan, and that's where I grew up and went to university. And then I moved to Berlin, where I'm based right now.
And how did it work while creating this audio piece of like choosing what went first?
Mm-hmm.
Like the language, English and then Japanese. Like, how did you overlay? Well, not overlay, but how did the process go? I know it's very technical, but I'm curious to know.
It was actually, I don't even know if I remember much of it, because the thing was, I had just finished a film project, a short film project, and I was a little bit tired of this very linear process where you write a script, you prepare, you film, and then you go into post-production and so on. And that was really freeing for me to sit in front of, just a whole sound library and seeing that I could do whatever I could do with it. I've done sound design for some of my own film works, and usually you have this limitation. I mean, it's mostly Foley's. You get the sounds that you, from whatever you see, and it was very freeing to not have that. So I think first of all, I wrote in 2021 a diary of a dream that I actually had. And then I made that into a script. So also, I don't really know what parts of the piece in the end are actually part of the dream that I had, or maybe just some things that I made up. So I think I started by recording a narration in English, but then it probably changed a lot along the way, or I re-recorded it because I didn't like how my voice sounded and so on.
How many times did you re-record? Do you remember?
Maybe two or three times, but in the end, I maybe took the first recording again, because I had the opportunity to record it in a proper studio. But then I used what I recorded just at home, which was most relaxed. And yeah, when you repeat it a certain amount of times, then you start to get really self-conscious. And yeah.
It loses its magic, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And what can you tell us about how this audio piece begins? Because it begins with someone, well, you, brushing their teeth and talking as well, which is quite interesting. Was this part of the dream, or was it something that...
Yeah, I think it was. I dream a lot about my teeth also. I think it's something about that I'm maybe grinding my teeth or something, and there's discomfort in my mouth, which I often dream about. Maybe it's a bit sidetracking, but I can tell you about one of my favorite nightmares. Where I had part of my gum on my upper jaw just ripped off. It's pretty grotesque, sorry. Maybe it needs a trigger warning. And then I was telling my mom, I should go to the hospital. And she said, no, you'll be fine. It's inside your mouth. You just lick on it and then it'll treat itself. So, yeah, this kind of... Also, a lot of times in dreams, I have the feeling that people around me aren't as interested in something that has a big impact on myself.
Thank you. And so we talked about the inspiration, but also we can talk about the medium, because you study film. How was it to translate that into sound, to change that perspective of not having the screen, but having just the sound? I know you were saying that you're a musician, but you already had that sensitivity, but now it was more about the voice, not singing, as you were saying before the interview.
It was completely the other way around, which was interesting. You have sounds, and then you maybe locate where they're coming from, or there's also so many dimensions to it that I think one of my favorite parts was thinking about how the footsteps should sound or how the surrounding sound effects should sound, and I chose to try to create a non-space, like a white cube, but still have sounds that are usually in everyday life have a very specific location to it. Like if you hear seagulls, then you're probably by the ocean. Or, yeah.
Thank you. And so far, what has been the feedback from the public?
The piece was once played at a sound art festival in Paris, and I got the feedback that I didn't understand it because it was in French, and then I had people translate it for me afterwards, and they seemed awkward because maybe it was a bit critical feedback, but I took it very funnily that they said, you can tell that she has this film background, and it's more like audio animation, and I wished for less language, and yeah, that was funny to hear.
And what do you have in store for the future? Any future audio projects?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not at all in preparation, but I've been fantasizing about making a piece actually in German about German. I forgot the author's name, but there's a small book called The Awful German Language. Yeah, and I took inspiration from that, and it has to do with my impression of German based on my everyday life being in Berlin.
Well, we thank you so much for your time, and we can't wait to see, well, not to see, excuse me, but to hear your work tonight. And we thank everyone who is listening.
Thank you so much.
And enjoy Switzerland.
Thank you.